missing Brother Gene again this morning. I hadn't heard from him, I don't know.
He had a little call, he called me this morning.
Oh, okay. All right. And usually he gives me a call. I didn't know. Amen. We're glad to be here this morning. Amen. Let's just go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity to be gathered here and assembled together. And Father, we give you praise, Lord, for the mighty wonderful things that you do in our lives from day to day, Lord, that sometimes we as Christians take for granted, Lord. But Lord, I pray, Father, as we thank you for them, Lord, that we not forget, Lord, that you are watching over us, every little thing that goes on in our life, dear God, and you're ever present with us, Lord. We pray for your blessings on the service today, Lord. I pray also for Brother Gene, Lord, that you'll touch him. I pray for Brother Phil, who's out of town, Lord, that you be with him, anoint him, Lord, as he ministers there in Indiana. And we ask, God, that you would just be with us in this service, dear God, and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. I want to begin reading at verse 44. And what I'd like to title this today is The Faithful. The Faithful. Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. In Luke 12:46 it says, point him his portion with the unbelievers. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You may be seated. This is Jesus speaking, as he so often did. Talked in types and parables and things to which was to bring understanding and you to the men that he spoke to and the people he spoke to. And you realize the people that he spoke to were not the highly educated. And not saying that they were ignorant, but they just were common people, is what I'm saying. And they used common ways of thinking, they had common lives, and they used common ways of speaking. And so Jesus spoke to them in these ways that they would understand and be able to comprehend. He didn't speak to them in the high and mighty ways that the priest down at the temple spoke to them in. But he's talking about a faithful servant. And here he's saying that when blessed is that servant when he comes, if he finds him doing what he has been called to do by God, what he placed him over something, then he requires of him that he be doing, working in that he's placed him in when he comes, to be faithful in it. And it's something that goes against this flesh, because this flesh at times the flesh isn't always willing. The spirit might be willing, but the flesh isn't always willing. And you've got to overcome the flesh and push beyond that to be faithful. The This flesh man, things wear on the flesh, you know. And the flesh can get frustrated. And the flesh can get to a point where it says, well, fine then, if that's the way it's going to be, I quit. But that's not a faithful servant. And we war against this flesh to stay faithful. There's sometimes that this flesh doesn't feel like doing things. But we push beyond and do it anyway. I've sat in your seats. I've sat there when I went to church in Ohio, and I was a member within the church. And there was times in my flesh, I didn't feel like singing. And I know sometimes you come here and you don't feel like singing. You don't feel like worshiping God. It's something in your flesh. It isn't that you're ungrateful. It isn't that you're not thankful in your heart to God, but it's this flesh. And then you got to push beyond that flesh and say, oh boy, I don't care what you feel like. We come here to worship God, so I'm going to worship God. We come here and we have song service. We come here to sing and worship in the presence of God. I'm going to sing anyway. And you push beyond it. There's times you might think, well, Brother Jerry always feels like preaching. No, there's times I don't. If I was you or any of you, I would never envy this. I didn't envy it ever. I never asked for it, never wanted it. But when God put the call in my life, I had to answer to it. And I can tell you this, if I'm not doing it, then there's something that's not at peace inside me. But that's in my spirit. My flesh is totally different. My flesh is no different than your flesh. The reason I say that is because growing up, I can remember as a young boy that in my mind, I put the preacher as some kind of superhuman. They didn't feel the things that I felt. They didn't go through the things I went through. They didn't have any trials, you know. They were just so full of the Holy Ghost that nothing that could penetrate them. And they were just, you know, so way beyond where I was. And that's not the truth. We're just as human as you are. We suffer through things like you suffer through. We have trials and temptations just like you do. But what gets me up here every service is I overcome that flesh. And, you know, there's times when my flesh might feel like doing something else. But in my spirit, I know I need to sit down and study. And you know, I can't just sit down and pick something out of the air. I got to have an inspiration for something. Something's got to strike my heart. So I've always got to be aware all the time that the Lord might say something to me through a tape or through somebody else preaching or through somebody saying something that it'll strike something. Or the Lord may just put a scripture on my heart, and from that scripture will come a message. And I've just got to be aware of to catch those times so that I can be a faithful servant. Now, Jesus gives a parable in the next chapter of St. Matthew, chapter 25. He gives a parable of the talents. And we are all familiar with that parable and how it goes. He gave one, he gave each of them so many talents, you know, he gave one 5 talents and one 2 talents and one talent. And then he traveled. And then when he came back, he inquired of them for what he'd give them. And we know the one that had 5 talents had gained 5 talents more. So he gave 10 talents to give back. And the one who had given 2 talents, he gained 2 more. So he had 4 to give back. But the one that had received one, he said, I knew that you reap where you don't strow. And so I was afraid. And I went and hid your money. And now that you've returned, I'm giving back to you that which is yours. And in the parable, it says that he was a slothful servant. But something I want to point out to you as well is he said in the parable, I was afraid. I was afraid and wouldn't hid thy talent in the earth. He said, I was afraid. Now, I've heard people say their reason for why they can't just let go and serve God. Well, I'm afraid my husband won't. Or I'm afraid my wife won't. Well, from this particular parable, one thing I want to draw is that's just an excuse. This is the first thing I want to draw from it. And the second thing I want to draw from it is it's unacceptable with him. He won't accept that excuse that you are afraid your husband or your wife wouldn't come or wouldn't. That's not acceptable. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'll tell you something, friends. If it come down to a choice between me serving God or following my mate, I'd serve God. Because that's the only way to eternal life. The Bible says that Abraham was faithful. He was a faithful servant of God. And those which are by faith, the children of Abraham, are blessed, the Bible said, with faithful Abraham. And Abraham was the father of the faithful. Abraham, when he was asked to go and sacrifice his son, Abraham was going all the way with it. He didn't just go part way. He was staying faithful. Of course, we know the Bible says he believed that God was able to raise Isaac up from the dead, just like he had already done when he brought him from the loins of Abraham. And so, but Abraham was faithful in this, pulled the hair back on his son, put the knife back to cut his throat. And it was the angel that said, stay your hand. He was going to go through with it. He was faithful till the end. And that's the thing. We've got to be faithful. It doesn't matter how faithful you are if you're not faithful to the end. We saw a lot of people in our time of serving the Lord. By we, I'm talking about me and you. We've saw a lot of people that seemed like they were faithful, seemed like they were real Christians, seemed like they really believed this message. And then as time went on, and you would think, looking at them, at one point you'd think, why, they're good to go. If there's anybody's going to make it, they're going to make it. And then as time progressed, you see something change in them, and you see them either walk away from the message and go back to denominations or walk away and go out into the world and just leave everything. And you think, my, what in the world? It seemed like they were being so faithful. But they weren't faithful to the end. They were faithful up until a time. And then they left. The Branham says here in the conflict between God and Satan, he says, no matter what it is, stay right there. If everything seems to be you can't go one inch forward, go that one inch forward. And if you hit a wall, stand there until God makes a way through it. So keep being faithful. Stay right there when it looks like There's nowhere else left for you to what to do. Just stay faithful. And God will make a way through it. The Bible talks about Moses being a faithful servant. It said he was a faithful servant in all his house. But it said there was one greater than Moses, the Son of God, who was over his own house and whose house we are. And that one was greater and more worthy than Moses. And Moses was faithful in that he counted not the treasures of Egypt, but he counted the reproach for Christ greater than all the riches of Egypt. When I was studying that on Moses, I came across something. Brother Branham was talking about Moses being faithful unto the end, and about how Moses, when he came down to time to die, why he got to look over into the promised land. And when he died, angels came and packed his body away. We find in the book of Jude that the devil had a conflict with Michael over the body of Moses, because the devil thought that belonged to him. But what it was, it wasn't just the body of Moses, you realize. But Moses did not go to the area which we had known as purgatory or paradise or such. Moses didn't go there. And Abraham went there. Sarah went there. Isaac went there. Jacob, and waited to be set free. We know that they were in prison because there hadn't been a bloodshed. And by rights, Satan was saying Moses should go there. But God had a purpose for Moses. And he wasn't done with Moses yet. And that's why, you know, there's the law that had to follow. And God followed according to this. But why this was an exception was because God wasn't done with Moses yet. Moses had to appear again. When Peter and James and John were there with Jesus, and Moses and Elijah appeared there on the mount. And then we know that there is one more time Moses has got a work to do, and that's during the tribulation period when he goes as one of the witnesses to call out the 144,000. So God wasn't done with Moses. But Moses was faithful unto the end. But then Brother Branham goes and he mentions about the rich man, the rich young ruler. And he said what he was faithful to was his church. What he was faithful to was what the priest had to say. But he wasn't faithful to the word, who was Jesus. And he said when he came down to the end, he was screaming, "I got nowhere to step." He said because he had been faithful to his church, he had been faithful to the world, then all he had was what was prepared for the world, and that was hell. So he had no place to stand. And I thought, my, I've never come across that before, how striking that was. He was faithful to the wrong thing. And it cost him eternal life. And he had an opportunity. And something so striking to me about it, his opportunity, was that the Bible said Jesus looked at him and loved him. He projected love to this young man. He projected something to him that was worth being faithful to. But he went to hell because he rejected in his time of opportunity. Whew. We know the Lord counted Paul faithful and put him into the ministry. Now, isn't that something? Paul said that he was a blasphemer and a persecutor. But he said he obtained mercy because he'd done it in ignorance. He'd done it ignorantly in unbelief. And he obtained mercy. But this is the thing. Jesus knew that Paul would be a faithful servant. See, Jesus knows all about you. Many times we get to looking and we look at our mistakes. We look at our failures, and we all have them. We all fail from time to time. And, you know, that accuser, the brethren's right there to say something to you, to try to pull you down, try to make you feel like you're not faithful. But I want you to know that God knows you better than you know yourself. He wouldn't have called you to lose you. Now, I know we said there were some that come and they left. Well, that goes along with the parable of where the seed was sown, where the seed fell. Some of the seed fell on good ground. Some of the seed fell on stony ground. Some of the seed fell in among the thickets and thistles and so on. And so we know that also according to the parable of the net, how Jesus talked about the gospel net, how it was cast out and pulled in. And when sometimes you pulled in, why, you'd get other things besides just believers. There would be other things pulled in according to what would be attracted to that ministry. And those things, why, they weren't fish to begin with. But the thing is, we look at one another, we can't tell who is, who ain't. And we shouldn't be trying to. That's up to God. That's between them and God. And I am so proud of how that we have treated different individuals that have come here. And I think we've treated them good. I think you've treated them good. I think you've fellowshipped them good. And, you know, not... Now, of course, we've had some individuals leave the church over the years that it went to other churches. There's nothing against that. If God led them to go somewhere else, well, God bless them. You know, go where they can get helped, you know, and where they can be a help. And I've got nothing ill to say about that. And, you know, I believe in that. I don't believe somebody's got to be under my ministry to make the rapture. I believe that they just have to be under somewhere, have a home church somewhere, be under some ministry somewhere to make it. But I don't think they have to be under mine. Paul speaks in the book of Ephesians about a man named Tychicus. I may not pronounce that right. Tychicus. It's T-Y-C-H-I-C-U-S. And he mentions him in Ephesians 6:21, if you want to take notes on that. And he said he was a faithful minister unto the Lord. Now, the history on this individual, this brother, first of all, he was companions with Paul on some of Paul's journeys. But one of the most striking things about this faithful brother was that he was faithful in conducting the business of collections for the poor Christians in Judea. So he would go around and take up offerings to take back to the poor that were in Judea. The Christians in Judea were poor, whereas some of the outer regions where they had reached in mission work and things, why, they had more. And so he would, it was, you know, like if in the church we had somebody that was in a great need, you know, why a deacon would, that would be his place to notice that and to bring it to the attention of the officers of the church and bring it to the attention of the pastor. You know, this family's in a real need. And then the deacon, you know, they could say whether they were going to take up an offering or whatever to try to help that individual. And that's what this brother was doing. One of the things he was faithful in was trying to help those that were in need. Paul mentions in Colossians about a brother named Epaphras, and said he was a faithful minister in Christ. And he taught the church in Colossia, the Colossian church. He done a lot of ministry in the Colossian church and teaching them the ways of Christ. And when Paul went to Rome, he accompanied Paul there and stayed with Paul. And so Paul mentions him as being a faithful minister. In the book of 1 Peter, Peter mentions a man, Silvanus, as being a faithful brother. The thing about this name was, it was the proper name of the man, but it was not the name that most people knew him by. The name that most people know him by is Silas. And you know the story of Paul and Silas, and how faithful Silas was, and how that when they were thrown in prison, it was Paul and Silas that began to sing the praises of God until the earthquake came and opened the prison doors and shook the chains from off of them. And Silas was part in that. And Peter mentions him as being a faithful brother. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, if you would. We'll read from chapter 8. I mean verse 8. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now, the first death, they were going to be hurt. God was letting them know, some of you are going to die for me. You're going to die for the cause of what you believe. And he says, don't fear that death. Don't fear those men. Don't fear what they can do to you. Don't fear what men can do, but fear he who can kill the soul. Not he that can kill the flesh. And he says for them to be faithful unto death. In other words, to endure until the end. Brother Branham brings out, and he says, they were told not to fear when they were called to die for their religion. Now, don't you fear about it, because Satan's going to cast you in there, because this Nicolaitan outfit that's come and pushing you in. So it was the Nicolaitan that caused this to happen to the Christians. They weren't the hand that necessarily put them to the death, but they were the cause behind it. They were the power behind it. And he says, the Nicolaitan outfit come pushing you in, because I'm going to let you die for my cause, but I'll give you a crown of life. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the Satan, devil can, shall cast some of you in prison that you be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days, but be faithful unto death. And Brother Ram says, notice it doesn't say until death. It says unto death. He said there's a difference. A person can be faithful right up to the point of dying and decide, whoa, wait a minute, I don't want to die. But unto death, they're going to be faithful right on through death. They're going to go down being faithful. I think on that, think about what they were asked to do. But, and we might think, in our way of thinking, we might think that would be a very hard thing to do, to be faithful unto death. But it's a lot easier to let your faithfulness go today than it was then. It's a lot more subtle today. You know, in this soft Laodicean age, it's a lot more easy to get lax, because this age is a lukewarm age. And you don't know how long that you got left. And you just got to keep being faithful. And you've got, no one knows the day nor the hour. So we don't know how close we are. But when they were being faithful unto death, they knew right here's where it ends. And I'm gonna have eternal life. And they weren't afraid to lose this life. They were faithful in what they believed. They really believed what they believed. And if we really believe what we believe, even though we don't have an end date in sight, we'll still be faithful until the end. He said it was the synagogue of Satan. He said it was the Nicolaitans. Then it was an organization, a priesthood that was raising up that would make those people suffer. And they were faithful to the gospel unto death. Faithful to Christ unto death. Go right down to death with it. Don't be afraid, I'll give you a crown. Now it mentions 10 days of tribulations. Brother Branham says, we know that a day in the Bible represents a year in God's eyes. So it was going to be 10 years that they were going to go through these tribulations. And a ruler became emperor, Diocletian. I can't remember how to pronounce his name right. Diocletian something. Diocletian. He become emperor. And during his 10 years, it was the bloodiest tribulation ever. It was the bloodiest time of Christians being put to death ever. It was during his reign, which lasted 10 years. Then we find the next church age as we drop on down into the 12th chapter of the second, the 12th verse of the second chapter of Revelation. We find the Pergamos age. And in there, God mentions Antipas, who was a faithful martyr who was slain among the people. Another individual who was faithful. They did everything to these people to put them to death. Every imaginable thing, everything, things that you would never even imagine, they did to them. They burnt them, they boiled them, they skinned them, they done all kinds of things to them. It wasn't just cut off your head and you're dead. They tortured these people in death. Years ago, when I was just a young man before we had any children, I was working in a welding shop. And that particular day, I didn't wear my flame retardant clothing. Instead, I wore pair of coveralls that I had, and they were made of cotton, and boy, they caught on fire. Flames were shooting up my side and up my back. I could not imagine being burned alive. That was just so horrifying. While I was on fire, I wasn't feeling any pain. At first didn't even know I was on fire. And then all I felt was heat. And the pain came afterwards. But it was just such a horrific thing. I couldn't imagine somebody being burned alive. And yet that's what they did to some of these people. But they were faithful to the end. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints that are Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, who is Paul writing this to? He said, first says Ephesus, but then he used that conjunction and. So it goes beyond just Ephesus. Goes beyond just the Ephesians people. And it goes to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who Paul is writing this to. Those who are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Look who what he's saying to those faithful. You were chosen by him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Friends, look, don't never let the devil tell you God's not going to accept you. You are accepted because you're accepted in Christ. It's like that story that Brother Branham tells about, said that old cross-eyed, knock-kneed donkey. He said, when the master comes, I'm afraid he'll see me and he'll kill me. And his mom said, nope. Said, you see that lamb over there, an innocent lamb? That's who is going to die in your stead. Brother Branham tells that little story. And that's the way we are. We're accepted not because of who we are, what we are, how good we can be. We're accepted because we're accepted through Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. He does all this according to his own will. Friends, he chose you before the foundation of the world. He knew the caliber of individual you would be. He knew what character he could mold in you. He knew what type of person you would be. Sometimes we get so down on ourselves. But he knew you. And he still loved you. Brother Branham said here, and I will restore, he said, he was praying. He says, we pray that in the end, we'll hear those wonderful words. It was well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Again, in conference with God, he says, and at the end of the road, may you say, it is well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful that morning at 8th and Penn Street. Looking forward to him saying to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful to me there in Dixon. He said, there's one thing I believe I'll hear, and that is, it's well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm expecting to hear that someday. And I'm sure he won't disappoint me. I'm sure he won't disappoint me. Now, I have talked with individuals before who would say, yeah, I know what I should do, and I'm going to do it, just not right yet. I just can't do it right now. But I'm going to serve the Lord. Brother Branham says this, kind of striking to me. He says, young man, young woman this morning, old man or woman, who's never been a Christian, God continually knocking at your heart. Oh yes, you might come at the end of the road, but you'll have no joy, and there'll be no stars around you to shine. So you miss out on all that time of joy that you could be having here in this life. I'll tell you what, you can get drugged down by the things of this world and by the things of this life. This life is a dreary time that we're passing through. But we can be full of joy, knowing that we're sealed in Christ Jesus. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Brother Branham says, in condemnation by representation, he said, let us pray now. And you think it over while we're praying. Lord, knowing that I'm mortal and soon I shall go, my days are getting many now. Soon I'll be 52 years on this earth. And Lord, I want to be faithful. I want to be true to the end. In about 64 places in the message, Brother Branham mentions this one couple. And he said they were ministering the gospel perhaps about 5 years before Brother Branham was even born. And they were still going strong. In 1962, and I believe Brother Branham would have been about 54 in 1962, and they were close to their 80s or in their 80s. And he mentions their names about 64 times in the messages. And it was Brother and Sister Kidd. And he talks about how they had been faithful in ministering the word of God down through the years. He said they stood on street corners. They braved through the cold and all kinds of elements and everything else just to preach the gospel. But there was something that, and I've mentioned this to you years ago when we ministered on a line of something, but Brother Branham in two places talks about Sister Kidd. And he said, Brother Kidd being in the ministry, he said, she worked with her own hands in the coal mines to support him on the field to preach the gospel. Well, I tell you what, that's like, that'd be like raking the cat's hair the wrong way with some message people. But he said she worked with her own hands in coal mines to support him on the field in the ministry. She was faithful. And he said she was faithful. What was she faithful in? Helping keep her husband on the field. And he was faithful in getting the gospel out there. Huh. Said, she working in a coal mine, supporting him on the field to preach the gospel that I'm standing for. Huh. Now, God's provided a way. I like this. And I'm going to be coming to a close. If he promised he'd be with us to the end of the world, then surely, though our faith failed, yet he's here. If our faith failed, yet he is faithful. He cannot disown himself. He's here. So he promised to be with us even until the end of the world. So Brother Branham's saying, even in times when we fail, he's still with us. Because he's faithful. And we belong to him. And he cannot disown himself. Aren't you thankful for that? Brother Branham was given his life story in Zurich, Switzerland, in 1955. And he was praying, and so often he did. He said, one of these days I'm coming to the end of the road. I'll be finished then. My work on earth will be done. I expect to meet him in peace. And I hope to hear him say, it was well done, my good and faithful servant, enter into life. Then he says, as he prays, he says, help us now, that your dear son, as I approach down the road from whence I traveled, renew those things in my mind and heart again. He's talking about for the Lord to bring back to his remembrance these things that he's going to get, accounts he's going to give of his life story. But this is the one thing you hear him say quite often. May all my mistakes be stepping stones to those that are here today. Now, that's quite something. Because in Brother Branham's life story that he gives several occasions, Brother Branham does talk about his mistakes. He talks about the mistakes he made along the way. He also tells you how he paid for those mistakes. Paid dearly. But he prays and he says, may my mistakes be stepping stones for others. And I think that is such a honorable thing to think and pray for, that our mistakes, because we make mistakes, let our mistakes be stepping stones for others. In other words, they won't have to make them same mistakes. Amen. Be faithful unto the end. And I love how he says, I know he won't disappoint me. That's what I'm expecting to hear, and I know he won't disappoint me. That's what I want to hear, friends. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to be faithful to the end. I want to be faithful through everything that God has called me to. I want to be faithful in it. Brother Branham said, let us be faithful in our posts of duty. So the things that God has called you, what you're supposed to do here at the church, be faithful in it. Be faithful to God in it. You know, we don't do it for a reward. We do it because it's a giving thing from our heart. But it will not go unrewarded. You will be rewarded greatly for your service to the Lord. You say, well, what is my post of duty? You say, I don't hold an office in the church. I don't hold this or that. What would be my post of duty? Be in here. being present. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for the little message that you place on our heart, dear God, to pray it to be a help to the brothers and sisters here, dear God. Lord, an encouragement. Many times, Lord, we're human and we need to be reminded. And we need encouragement, Lord. And sometimes we forget, Father, the things that you've done for us. Sometimes we forget. I'm sorry for that, Lord. Lord, as they come back to our remembrance, Lord, we want to praise you for them. Lord, thank you for even the little things that you do for us, that we ask you. There's things, Lord, that even seem to be insignificant in the scheme of everything, and yet we ask you for it, and you answer our prayer. We thank you, Lord. Bless your people today, dear God. I pray and ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.